Titling the message from the words found in verse 7, the last part of verse 7, our God will abundantly pardon. Our God. Now, I don't know about the God of this world, but the God of Scripture, the God of Holy Scripture, our God says He will abundantly, abundantly pardon. God does everything. You know, He does everything in an abundant way. He will abundantly pardon. I'm interested in pardon because I'm a sinner. By nature, I'm guilty. By nature, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need pardon. Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. Salvation is for sinners. If you're a sinner, I've got good news. Christ died for the ungodly. Our God will abundantly pardon. In Nehemiah 9:17, don't turn, let me just quote this to you. These words are found. Thou art a God ready to pardon. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. I would have you turn to this scripture, Psalm 86. Turn over there. We'll be studying Wednesday evening. We'll be studying Psalm 86. But we find this statement in Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. He's ready to pardon. He's good and ready to forgive. And He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Him. Calling upon the name of the Lord. The Lord is ready to forgive, ready to pardon. He will abundantly pardon. I give thanks unto the Lord. Our Lord and our God has always been that way because He does not change. He's eternally the same from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. He said, I'm the Lord. I cannot change. He's always been ready to pardon those who are in need of mercy. Need of mercy. Now we learned from our message last week that the Lord our God shall call out His covenant people, as we read in verse 5, thou shalt call a nation of His elect, a nation chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, and they shall run unto the Lord thy God. We run to Him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. We read a moment ago in John chapter 6, He said, all that the Father hath given to me, those covenant people given to me, they shall run to me. They shall come unto me. And those that come unto me, He said, I will never, no, never forsake them. I will never, no, never cast them out. And He gives us three reasons found in verse 5. He says, because I am the Lord thy God. Salvation's His doing. Salvation is of the Lord. He planned it, He purposed it, He provides it, and He applies it. Because I am the Lord thy God, I'll call you, and you will run unto me and rest in me. Secondly, He said, because He is the Holy One of Israel, He came to accomplish our salvation. He didn't come to make it just a possibility. He came to actually accomplish our salvation. I'm the Holy One of Israel. He's the only one that can make us righteous in God's sight. And then thirdly, and here's the bottom line in all things that He does, found in the last part of verse 5, Isaiah 55, for He, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath glorified the Father in all things. That's the bottom line. Of all things that God does is His glory, isn't it? His glory, His glory. Our Lord prayed in John 17 in His priestly prayer. He said, Father, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work You gave me to do. And the reason that sinners seek Him, call upon Him, and run to Him, you know why? He has been exalted in our heart, in our soul. Therefore, we run unto Him. We read in Scripture, Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now the fruit and effect and the reason of the Lord accomplishing our salvation and then calling us unto himself by his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world, are found in these next verses. Verse 6 and following. Look at verse 6. As Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while you have breath, while he may be found, where he is found, and call upon him while he is near. Now, our running and our seeking and our calling upon him is a fruit and the effect of him accomplishing salvation for his covenant people. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now notice this carefully in verse 6. It says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. You see, every blessing, forgiveness, righteousness, every blessing we need, salvation, every blessing we need, all spiritual blessings are found in him. We're not to seek the blessings. We are to seek the blessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So seek ye the Lord. All blessings are found in him. This book teaches this. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him all fullness dwells, and we are complete in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist says of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his fullness, the fullness of all salvation is found in him. I want to be found in him, don't you? Salvation is found in him. Seek ye the Lord. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace because of his fullness. Seek ye the Lord, Jehovah, God, our Savior. In Matthew chapter 6, when the Lord is teaching in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, this statement is made. The Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, who's he talking about? The king in the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek that first, foremost, always. And all these things, other things, he said, I'll take care of that too. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord knows that we have need of shelter, food, clothing, these things. But seek ye the Lord. Now listen to these scriptures. This is God's instruction to his covenant people who have been called out of darkness, who run unto him, and they do seek him. Psalm 34, just listen, sit still and listen. I'll read them to you. Psalm 34, verse 10. You can jot these down if you want to. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 105, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 105 says, seek ye the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Eagerly pursue him. All blessings are found in him. And then it says in our text, call upon him. How do we call upon the Lord? Well, we call upon him in prayer, don't we? We call out in our heart by faith, looking to Christ to provide all things for us. Call upon him while he is near. Now, I have you turn to the book of Psalms again. Turn back over here to Psalm. Look at Psalm 18. Call upon him. David said in Psalm 116, I will take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 18. Look at verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. For the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I'll trust. You see, all fullness is in him. He's my buckler. He's my horn of my salvation. He's the power of my salvation. He's my refuge. He's my high tower. Verse 3, I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord. You ever call upon him? His people do constantly. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will seek the Lord. I will call upon Him. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 116 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. And all of you know this scripture very well. Romans chapter 10 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Well, I'm going to call upon the name. Now, make sure you call upon the name of the Lord, as He's revealed in His holy book, His holy word. You see, seeking the Lord and calling upon the name of the Lord and coming to the Lord, repenting of all that we are and think and have and said and done, everything that constantly repenting. This seeking the Lord and calling upon Him and coming to Him and believing Him is not some isolated one-time experience. It's not. Not true faith. True faith is constantly in our heart coming unto the Lord, running unto the Lord. True saving faith is continually looking unto the Lord, coming unto Him, resting in Him. It's not something that happened way in the past one isolated time. It's the constant life of every believer. We continually seek Him. We are continually calling upon the name of the Lord, always looking to Him, always believing Him, always loving Him. That's the life of a believer, seeking the Lord, coming to Him, believing Him, always while He is near. See, He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, while we're seeking the Lord and coming to Him, calling upon Him, and running unto Him, looking unto Him. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. Remember Isaiah 45? All ye the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. While we're doing that, I tell you what else happens. Look at verse 7. He causes us to forsake our own wicked way and our own wicked thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn or return unto the Lord. What is this turning? It's repentance. 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 And God will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly, abundantly, abundantly pardon. Now, there, what we read here is more of the fruit of that salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, and that God works in us by the power of His grace. We not only seek Him, call upon Him sincerely and constantly for all salvation, but believers gladly forsake our former wicked idolatry, our former wicked ways, our former religious pride, our former wicked thoughts, and we count, as the Apostle Paul says, we count all of our former religious idolatry as dung and rubbish, that we may win Christ and be found in Him. We do forsake our wicked way. We do forsake our evil thoughts. And let us, and we do, by His grace, we turn to the Lord for all pardon, forgiveness, and salvation. We look to Him. Now let's take a closer look at these two things here that's mentioned. Let us forsake our wicked and evil way. Our way. Our way. Now, because of our fallen, rotten nature, we have this tendency in our heart to say, it's my way. I want it my way or no way. That's a deadly thing when it comes to salvation. Because I tell you, my way, left to myself, my thought is always contrary to God's way and His thoughts. So, those who were taught of God, blessed of God, to seek Him, to call upon Him, we do forsake our evil way. The Scripture says there is a way that seems right unto men, the way that appeals to the flesh. What is that way that appeals to the flesh? Works, self-glory, self-righteousness. But the Lord said the end of that way, you know what it is? Death. Death. I don't want to go that way. Nothing more evil before God Almighty than to seek salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Nothing more wicked and evil in God's presence than to seek salvation in something else other than what God has provided. What has God provided? Everything for us in Christ. It's an insult to the high and holy God to seek salvation apart from His provision. His provision is Christ. Let us forsake our evil way and let us by His grace embrace and receive the right way. What is the right way? The Lord said in John 14, I am the way. Not a way. I am the way, the life, and the truth. Now, look at the second part of that verse 7. So let us forsake our wicked way and let us forsake, be done with, our unrighteous thoughts. Our thoughts. You say, preacher, you can't condemn a man for his thoughts. I can't see what you're thinking, but I'm not the judge. God knows your heart. God will condemn you for your thoughts. Your wrong thoughts. Let us forsake and abandon our wrong and evil thoughts. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, you are they that justify yourselves before men. But that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Those who are seeking the Lord and calling upon Him and running to Him, by His grace we have abandoned all wrong thoughts of God because we have been taught of God. He's been our teacher. He is the lesson. Salvation's in Him. By His grace, believers have forsaken their thoughts about the way we think that it ought to be. Let us forsake and abandon our own wicked and evil ways. Let's forsake and abandon our thoughts that are contrary to the God of Scripture. God, the God that's found and taught in this holy word, His holy Bible. God is not who we think He is. He's who He is. As He's revealed in His book, holy, holy, sovereign. He will have mercy on whom He will. He's eternal. His gospel is an everlasting gospel. Let us forsake and abandon our evil thoughts about God, the true and living God. Let us forsake our evil thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not some weak, pitiful Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty Savior. He is almighty to save. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to make salvation a possibility. The Lord Jesus Christ actually accomplished salvation with His blood and with His sacrifice and with His death. He said, I've obtained eternal redemption for you. That He has obtained eternal redemption for us with His own blood. We need to forsake our wicked thoughts about the God of the Bible. We need to forsake our wicked thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not some weak, pitiful Savior. He's almighty to save. We need to forsake our thoughts about our own self. We think too highly of ourselves. And we think too low of Him. You see, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There's none that left to themselves that seek after the Lord. None. Forsaking our way and our thoughts, which by nature are contrary to the way of grace. Forsaking our way and our thoughts is a miracle of God's grace that He works in our heart when He teaches us the truth. It's a miracle of grace. It's a drastic change that God brings about by His power through the preaching of the Word, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. He changes our thoughts, which changes our life, which changes our way. This is a miracle of grace, the miracle that grace works in us. You see, He changes our mind about who He is, our thoughts about who He is. He causes us to have a change of, not only a change of mind, but a change of masters. No longer serve self, we serve the Lord. We bow to His Lordship. This miracle of grace causes us not only to change our mind, our thoughts, change of masters, but a change of manners. A change of manners. If anybody be in Christ, those who are in Christ are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it causes us to have a change of motives. Grace changes our mind, our master, our manners, our motives. What motivates a believer? Is it fear of punishment? Is it promise of reward? What motivates you? I tell you what motivates God's people. Christ. We're motivated by love. You know, love is a strong motivator. Oh, love is a strong motivator. Believers love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is altogether lovely, and they're highly motivated by His love. You see, we love Him because He first loved us. And then it says in verse 7, let us turn to the Lord in repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Turn from yourself. Turn from your way. Turn from your thoughts. That's repentance. That's not something that we do naturally. Repentance is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God that causes us to change our thinking, change our mind, change our thoughts, and to turn unto the Lord for all things. Now make sure you understand this. This repentance and this turning and believing God is a gift of God. Not something that happens naturally. Faith and repentance are His sovereign gifts. He gives it to whom He will. Both faith and repentance, you know what they do? They both have the same characteristic. True saving faith that's God-given, the faith of God's elect, you know what it does? It acknowledges the true and living God. It acknowledges that salvation is all of the Lord. Same thing with true God-given repentance. It acknowledges that salvation is of the Lord. True faith, true repentance are His sovereign gifts. They both acknowledge that salvation is the working of God by the grace of God. Now, look at the last part of verse 7. So we turn to the Lord, we by His grace, we seek Him, we call upon Him, we forsake our wicked way, we forsake our wicked thoughts, and we turn to the Lord. And you know what He does? He has mercy upon us. And to our God, for He will abundantly, abundantly pardon. Now here's the fruit of the Lord's gracious call, which causes us to eagerly seek salvation and motivates us to call upon Him. He will have mercy upon us. You need mercy? You know what the Lord says? Come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. He will have mercy. I need mercy. You see, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Mercy. If you ever take your place before the throne of God as a mercy beggar, and like the publican in the temple, God have mercy upon me, the sinner. The sinner. I've never read in Scripture where the Lord has turned away a mercy beggar. A mercy beggar. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside, heard about the Lord Jesus coming through, and he cried out, he called, seeking the Lord, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. And his friend said, Bartimaeus, he doesn't have time for you, won't you just hush? And he cried out the more. Why did he cry out? He had a need. He knew the master, the Lord Jesus, could meet that need. And he called out the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Lord stood still and said, Bartimaeus, what do you need? Oh, that I might see. The Lord said, okay. Gave him sight to see. He will have mercy. Call upon him. Seek him. And then it says the second part of that, he will abundantly forgive, abundantly pardon. How can he pardon and forgive all our sin? How can he do that? You know, he does it justly. He justly forgives our sin. You know why? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin because he paid the debt for my sin. He took all my sin into himself and made full atonement, full satisfaction. Upon that basis of his full payment, he forgives our sin. He will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Turn back to Psalm 130 again. The book of Psalms 130 this time. He will abundantly pardon. Call upon him. He will abundantly pardon. Look at Psalm 130. Look at verse 7. Psalm 130, verse 7. I would encourage you to read this whole psalm. It's short, but look at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. There is mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption, deliverance from sin. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. One other psalm. We studied this Wednesday night. Turn to Psalm 85 this time. Psalm 85. By him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts chapter 13. Look at Psalm 85 verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob, thy people. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now, O God, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Thou hast covered all our sin, taken away all our iniquities. Now look back to the text again. Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What greater motive? And seek mercy where it's found, forgiveness where it's found. Look at verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts, God said, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord's ways and thoughts are so far higher, greater, superior than our puny and wicked way and our wicked thoughts. This is evident in all things, isn't it? But especially in the way of salvation. Our ways and our thoughts left our own thinking about salvation are all wrong. Need to be corrected of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. God must teach us the way of salvation. God must correct our thinking. By nature, left to ourselves, we think that salvation is by something we do. Salvation is not by what we do. Salvation is not do. Salvation is done. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished salvation by himself. Naturally, left to ourselves, we think salvation ultimately rests in the will of the sinner. That's not so, is it? It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of whose will? His will. His will be done. Naturally, our ways and our thoughts are contrary to God's way and God's thoughts. Naturally, the old natural man thinks that Christ died for everybody, that God loves everybody. You know, that's not so. The love of God is sovereign. The love of God is in Christ. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The natural man thinks that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody, but that's not so. He laid down his life for the sheep, for his elect. He said, call his name Jesus. The scriptures declare he shall save his people from their sin. That's why the Lord said in verse 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. They're higher, and the heavens are above the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, it does not return there, but waters the earth that it may bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Lest we might think that the sovereign purpose and will of God might fail, we have this clear statement of fact that God's purpose cannot fail, shall not fail, nor can he be frustrated. Just as he sovereignly sends the snow and rain to accomplish his purpose in the earth, so too has he sent forth his word to accomplish all things in salvation. The Lord sends out his gospel. The Lord sends out his Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall accomplish all God's purpose. Look at verse 11 again. So shall my word, and this can be referring to the written word, the living word, the preached word, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the word of God, shall go forth out of God's mouth, and he cannot return void. The word cannot return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. I like these words here, accomplish. Salvation is something the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And because he accomplished salvation, it shall prosper. Can that which he accomplished fail? Can the purpose of God be frustrated? Can the grace of God fail? It says in Isaiah 42:4, he shall not fail, cannot be frustrated. Not at all. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the work the Father gave him to do. He prayed that way in John 17. Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Christ accomplished all that God was pleased to give him to do on our behalf as a representative man. What did he do? Let me give you several things. He fulfilled the law of God for us. Our Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to honor the law of God. And he did that as a representative man for his covenant people. By his obedience, we are made righteous in God's sight. He established for us an everlasting righteousness, which he freely imputes and charges and gives to us. He fully put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He fully justified his people at Calvary with his own blood. He shall accomplish that which God pleases. Now, did he fail in any aspect as a surety of the covenant, as a savior or sacrifice of the covenant? Did he accomplish all of God's purpose in salvation? Absolutely so. He cannot fail. He cannot be discouraged. I like this word here. Not only these three words here. Look at them carefully. Accomplish. Accomplish. The Lord Jesus Christ is not an amateur Savior. He's not a rookie Savior. He's an accomplished Savior. He shall save his people. And then this word, please. Whatever the Lord is pleased to do, that's what he does. That's what he does. Now you can't say that. You can't say that of yourself. You can please to do many things. You can say you are pleased to do many things. But there are many things that you say that you might do that you will never be able to do. If I could, I'd like to fly like a bird. That would please me. But I'm not able. to do so. And you can take that illustration and stretch it out as far as you want. But whatsoever the Lord pleases to do, that's what He does. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. It pleased the Lord to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ in our room instead. It pleases God to reveal Himself to sinners through Christ Jesus. And this word here, accomplish, please, and then I like this word too, prosper. You remember Isaiah 53:10? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Prosper, prosper. Here's the prosperity we sing about in verses 12 and verse 13. Here's the prosperity of the gospel that's accomplished. That which God is pleased to work in our heart. For it says in verse 12, you shall go out of bondage, out of death, out of sin's bondage, out of the curse of the law, with joy, being delivered. He delivers us and He causes us to joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We joy in Him. We rejoice in the Lord, don't we? And we have no confidence in the flesh. You shall go out with joy, joy in your heart. And you should be led of the Lord, led forth with peace. We have peace with God. Now think about it. I may not have peace among men, and I'm interested in living as peaceable as I can among men, but that's not the essential thing. The essential thing is that believers have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fruit of the covenant of grace, the fruit of salvation. We have joy, joy. We rejoice in Him. We have peace with God. The mountains shall break forth before you into singing. We sing of His power. We sing of His grace. We sing of Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Who are these trees? Turn over here to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Look at verse 3, Isaiah 61. This is along the same thought as found in Isaiah 55. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is appointed unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty, His beauty, for ashes. The oil of joy, the oil of joy, the spirit of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called, here's these trees again, trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. Now whose righteousness? The Lord, our righteousness. We're found in Him. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That, here's the bottom line, that He might be glorified. Everything God does, He does for His glory. His glory. Back to the text. Instead of the thorn, verse 13, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. Now, I don't know a whole lot about the fir tree and the briar tree, but I know it's an opposite of the thorny tree and the briar. One will stick you and poke you and irritate you, that thorny flesh. The briars of the flesh. The briars of sin. And He gives us the fir tree, the way of grace. He gives us the myrtle tree, the way of peace in Christ Jesus. And it shall be to the Lord. It shall be to the Lord for a trophy of His grace. It shall be to the Lord for a name. God's given Him a name above every name. At that name every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. It shall be to the Lord for a name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is an everlasting sign. What God does shall be forever. we shall be made trophies of His grace forever. An everlasting sign that shall not end. Never be cut off. He has given us eternal salvation. He's given us everlasting pardon, mercy. It won't end. Everlasting righteousness, eternal redemption that shall not be cut off. Shall not end.